Let's go to the Lord in prayer again this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day. Lord, we do thank you that we can sing praise to you this morning. Lord, that it truly can bring joy and comfort and peace to our minds and our hearts. Lord, to know that, Lord, no matter the days that we might live on this earth, no matter how long, how short they might be, Lord, that it is truly soon and very soon that we will see you. Lord, in our world today, in the struggle and challenge and difficulty of our lives and so many thoughts and ideas that burden our hearts each and every day, Lord, it is great joy to know that we have a King that loves us, Lord, a God that guides us in our life, and Lord, I pray that you would just help us to focus on you this morning. Lord, I pray as we open your word now, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would bind Satan from this place. Lord, that your spirit would be here in this place, and Lord, as your spirit moves, that you would speak through me, and Lord, that we as your church could receive the message that you have for us this morning, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In the next few weeks, again, as you probably already noticed, I want to, hopefully as the Lord leads, kind of focus in on some of our thoughts for our time approaching Easter. We always think about Easter at one time or another. We might think about it. I know we're several weeks away from it now, but obviously Easter time rolls around and we think about the resurrection of Christ. We think about, in brief, probably the crucifixion of Christ. It's my hope in the next few weeks that you will be more intentionally focused to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And what does it mean for us as the church today? What does it mean for us in relationship to the lost world around us? And how is it that we communicate that with others? And hopefully that it is in our heart and our mind, it's a reminder for us to consider what does it really mean for you and I to know Christ? And what does it mean to truly fellowship and relationship? And the book of Romans happens to be one of those places where we find lots of reminders of those things in the picture of Christ and what it is that he's done for us and what it means to walk in relationship with him. So we're going to pick up this morning in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Paul says to the Romans, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He says in verse 2, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" These are familiar verses to you probably. We've read them together as a church at many a times. But I want you to consider this morning what Paul mentions to the Romans and what he speaks to us as the church. What shall we say then? He asks this question. Here's the question for us. If we consider these things this morning, shall we continue in sin? That's a big thought for the day, right? When we come to a realization of Jesus Christ in our life today and knowing relationship and fellowship with him this morning in the life of the church, just the first part of that question that Paul mentioned, shall we continue in sin? And the next part of his question is that grace may abound. I don't know if we ever really consider what Paul mentions there to the Romans, but this is kind of honestly the mentality of many of Christians today. That there is freedom in knowing Jesus Christ, and because of the freedom of the forgiveness that Jesus offers us, we can do whatever it is we feel like doing. I know none of you would admit to that, but that is the process that probably lays out in our life more often than we want to talk about. In my life and in your life, there are many a days when I just simply, plain and simple, take for granted the grace of God. Take for granted the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me, that his blood was shed for me so that I could have remission of sins and that I could live in an obedient life with Jesus Christ. And we go through life each and every day. I think every opportunity we have in our lives today is to focus on the things of Christ and know that it is truly his grace and that we not take it for granted. But Paul's question here, I think, to us as a reminder is, shall we continue in that sin? Shall we continue sinning day in and day out just so that we see the grace of God? Just so that we can find the grace of God in our life. And common sense says to the church today and for us as believers that we would not live that way. And I know our mind says, no, I don't live that way. I don't sin intentionally expecting that God will just forgive me of it. Most of us. Sometimes we probably do. Sometimes subconsciously we may not even think about it. We just know that in the back of our mind and in our heart, the Word of God tells us that he'll forgive us of anything we do. So we just go through life doing what we want. And then somewhere along the line, either in relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe sitting in the church and studying the Word of God, maybe in your own personal time and study of the Word of God, the Spirit begins to convict you. And then now all of a sudden we do think about our sin in our life. I wonder this morning what it might look like in the life of the church if we intentionally focused on living according to the righteousness of God and according to the relationship we have with the Lord instead of expecting him to forgive us when we don't. Getting to that place, he says in verse 2, two simple words, right? God forbid. He says that we do not allow that. There is no reason for the church today to be comfortable in sin. There is no excuse for you and I that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to continue on in sin. Just plain and simple. That's what the Word of God says. There is no reason for it. Now, I understand, just in my own life and in each of your lives, there are days when I sin. Every single day, probably most oftentimes when I look at my life, it happens probably about 2 minutes after I roll out of bed, as I'm awake, and some things start to happen. My human nature kicks in, and before I know it, I'm in the wrong thought, I'm in the wrong direction, I'm in the wrong mindset, I'm not focused on the things of the Lord. So I'm going to give you a challenge. Start focusing on the Lord before you get out of bed. You know a really good way to do that? Focus on the Lord before you go to bed. Really, really simple process. Focus on the Lord. You know what we teach even our young children a lot of times? We do this at my house. Teach my kids to go before they go to bed to say their prayers, right? Think about those things. Probably something that many of parents have taught. Hey, you should say your prayers. Why do we say our prayers? I've heard these things all my life. I've heard people say, well, you ought to say your prayers and confess your sins before you go to bed in case you don't wake up in the morning, right? In case something happens through the night, you probably want to talk to the Lord a little bit, get in the right relationship with the Lord. You know, if we get to this place in our lives as Christians where we actually intentionally went to bed in right relationship with the Lord, might have opportunity to hear from God in that still calmness of the evening. In that still quiet time. You find in Scripture, if you really study out Scripture, how many times God spoke to people in their dreams. And most of the time in our human nature today, we don't slow down any time of our life except for when we get in the bed. However long that might be. For some of you, that might be 12 hours a night. For some of you, it's probably 2 or 3. It's rough, right? We know. Those are those things. There's an average there. We can't even think about those things. The doctors say 8 hours is great. Some people say 12 is a whole lot better. I don't know. I can't make the 8 mark most nights. It's just not easy for me to do that. But you consider, what if I went to bed at night focusing on Jesus Christ? How do we do that? Turn off the television. Study the Word of God. Spend some time focusing on what God has done in my life today. And what does He want for tomorrow? That's a challenge for you this week. Try it out. Something new and exciting for you to consider this week. Make some sacrifice. Make some time. Spend some time reflecting on the things of God before you go to sleep at night. And I promise you, you'll notice a difference in the morning. You'll notice a difference probably throughout the night. And if you hear from the voice of God this week, don't blame me. It's because you did what God told you to do, right? The Lord speaks. You ever thought about why you don't hear things from the Lord? It has a lot to do with us personally. It has a lot to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And no matter what anybody else says or does, you have to focus on the things of the Lord. And he gives us a reminder, I think, when Paul mentions two simple words, God forbid, he says, we should not continue in those things. There is no excuse for that. And as the church today, we like to sugarcoat those things. We like to make people feel warm and cozy. And I promise you today, if the Lord speaks the way that He's put it in my heart, you're probably not going to leave here warm and fuzzy. Praise God. Because I haven't been warm and fuzzy since I read these verses the first part of the week again. It's difficult. It's challenging. And the Word of God should challenge your heart this morning. And it's okay to leave the house of the Lord with something new in your mind and in your heart and considering, what should I do today? What is it that God wants from us? God forbid that we would continue on in those things. Look what he says. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Right? Paul says, how should we? God forbid that we would continue to do that. How should we that died to sin? And you consider this morning what took place. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something happened. At that point in that time, whatever day it was in your life, when you realized that you were a sinner and the only cure for your sin was salvation through Jesus, that means you're a follower of Christ, right? You accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. However you said it, wherever you were, on your knees, on your bed, wherever you were at, driving down the road, in the middle of a church service, I don't know. For every one of us, it's probably different. But that moment in time when you realized you were a sinner and the only situation that would take care of that was Jesus Christ, and you came to relationship with Him, then you know what it means. And he says, why should we continue on in those things, right? When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we came into fellowship with Jesus on the cross. Amen. We came into the same relationship with Him as though we were at the cross with Jesus. As He died for our sins at that point, for the entire universe. Right. He died for that sin. He took care of it at the cross. The minute you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you took on that death. You took on that death that He took for us. You put yourself, and the Scripture tells us, daily to die to ourselves. To come to this place of relationship with Jesus Christ. And He says, if we are truly dead to sin, at the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, think about it this morning, when that was for you. Think about that moment in time when you prayed to accept Jesus Christ. For some of you, I got to be there. It's exciting. I enjoy it. I love it. Because I still think about it. Whether you do or not, I think about those days. For those of you that I got to be there with you, it's great. It's exciting. Because I think about it probably more often than you realize. When you think about our own salvation, do you ever think about it? When is it that I got serious about the Lord? If you can't really remember that day, guess what? Today's your opportunity. Amen. Get serious about God. But you think about what took place. And look at that time. He says, we died to our sin. Why should we live in it any longer? If we physically died to it, it's over with. It's done. Right? But we recognize physically today in our life, there is no physical life when you're dead. Right? When you die, that's the end of it for us. Physically on this earth, that's it. However you choose to end up your life, if you go to the casket or you're burned up or however the popular things are that are happening today, whatever it is. Right? The Scripture tells us your body is dead. That's the end of it. It's now spiritual. Now it's, where does my spirit go? Right? Heaven or hell? Plain and simple. Well, we recognize death is permanent for us. When we die and we take our last breath on this earth, that's all of it. It's the end. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that was the end of that sin for us. It was the end of that life. And that person that we were. And now we are a new creation in Christ, Scripture says. And we ought to move forward on those things. And that's what He says. How shall we continue in those things? How shall we move on in our life? There should be this distinction in the life of the church today. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism, He says, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've been talking about baptism. This is that symbol. You all have witnessed it. You've seen it. Maybe you've experienced it yourself. If you haven't experienced it yourself, you probably witnessed it in this church. Praise God. You realize today across the Colorado, across the state of Colorado, baptisms are up in Southern Baptist churches. Amen. That's something we ought to get excited about. Amen. And we ought to be a part of. It ought to be a more regular routine in the life of the church. It ought to be so normal in the life of the church today that people are getting saved and baptized that we just expect it. The Sunday that we don't have it should be a problem. Yeah. That should be the concern of the church today. The focus of our lives. And He gives us this description in this particular verse. Talks more about a spiritual baptism than that water baptism. I think this is deeper than just simply saying we sent somebody through the water. We recognize the symbolism of what takes place in the water in this picture of baptism is that we're buried with Him. That's what He says, right? That's the picture of the grave. That's the picture of what Jesus did for us. When He died on the cross, He went to the grave, He was buried. Praise God that He came back to life. Amen. So we serve a risen God. And we ought to live in that thought today. We've been born again in relationship with Jesus Christ and we're raised again to a new life. Look what He says, to glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Consider today the normal process in most Christians' lives, get saved, get baptized, maybe join the church if we can force ourselves to go down that road and get committed and do those things. And then life's just life for us. We cruise through life hoping we get to the end and say we did a pretty good job. I promise you this morning, God wants more than that from you. God wants more than that from this church. He wants us to be committed to really come to this place of walking in newness of life. That means that it is a continual change for us. Newness of life is something that I believe God provides for us each and every day. It's an opportunity. You woke up this morning, you have new opportunity for life today. Amen. Normal process for human beings today is we live as though we don't really have anything else. We don't have any new life. We don't have any new opportunities, new relationship. God intends different for us. He says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We ought to live as though we are alive. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul's pretty direct. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. There's a condition of the church today that God expects us to live. And to live like we're in relationship with Him. Live as though we're in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That we have relationship with Him, and that our focus and our priority today is on the things of Christ, and knowing that He wants to lead and direct in our lives each and every day. He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to be working and moving in our relationships. He wants to be working in our families, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, in our communities. He wants to be a part of everything that we're a part of. We consider for just a minute, just consider the last 7 days of your life, and honestly take a thought for a second about what is it that you know, without a doubt, you can see Christ in the last 7 days of your life. Where can you look in the last week of your life and see that Jesus was at work? And if you can't automatically come to thinking of something, there's something for you to hope for this week. Something for us to look for. We see the evidence of Christ working in our life. If we don't, our focus is in the wrong direction. We're no longer focused on the things of God, but we're expecting things for our own life. We're thinking of our own thoughts and our own ideas. He that is dead, he says, is free from sin. We should live as though we're free. You really consider, what does that mean for us, right? The normal Christian life today is so bound up with our sin and our own thoughts and our own struggles that we don't even really understand what freedom is all about. We consider today that if for some reason you got to spend the next week of your life behind bars, what would next Sunday look like if you were free from that? You were completely confined and incarcerated this week. Anybody want to go? I don't. I don't necessarily want to be in that place, right? Anybody really want to be bogged down with your own sin and struggle in your life? If the door's wide, honestly, just think just for a second. For those individuals that are incarcerated today, if the gates were left wide open, the doors were unlocked, and they could walk out, how many of them do you honestly think would just sit there and stare out the door and think, man, it'd be nice to walk through that door and not be behind these bars, right? They're going to go. That's everybody's fear, right? The doors are open and somebody's going to get out that ain't supposed to be out here. You know, this is where most Christians live today. Man, it would be so great to have this. It would be so great to see these things. It'd be so great to see this building filled up with faithful followers of Jesus Christ and see people coming to know the Lord every single day. But most of us as Christians live holding back our entire life. Because we're afraid of what might happen if we got serious about God. I'm afraid of what might change in my life if I took a step of obedience and did what God's been telling me to do for 10 years. Maybe He's been telling you to do it for 2 days and you still haven't done it. Maybe He's telling you to do it today and you're saying, man, I don't want to do it today. Right? We've been free from all of those things. Most importantly, we've been freed from sin. When we accept Jesus Christ. If you don't know freedom from sin today, you don't know freedom from difficulty and challenge in your life, and you're struggling with your own physical situation today, we need to give commitment to Jesus Christ. Paul says we've been freed from those things, and why would we want to live in it? Right? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We live as though God intended us to live. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Amen. One time. He died on the cross for our sin, for your sin, for my sin, and for every person's sin from now till forever. From all those individuals long before we were ever here to those that will be here after we're gone. He died for every one of those sins. One time. Think about those things. He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth. He lives. Remember that song? He liveth unto God. Jesus Christ died on a cross, buried in a tomb, rose again. And He lives now. Look what it says, unto God. Can you imagine what it would be like in your life today if that was our focus? That we live unto God in everything that we do. Every action, every thought, every second of our life is focused on God. Not what I want, but what He wants. Not on my plans and my thoughts and my ideas, but on what God wants for me. What does God want for you today? Do you know what God wants for you? Have you heard from the Lord? Have you heard true direction from the Lord? And you simply continue to come back to this place where it's uncomfortable, where I don't really want to do those things? He liveth unto God. Look what he says in verse 11. This is the challenge for the church this morning. Likewise, he says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Reckon yourselves. You know what that means? It means brings ourselves in line with what Jesus has done for us. Hear about those thoughts. You hear that term, right? There's going to be a day of reckoning. Those kind of thoughts come through your mind, right? You really consider this picture of reconciling all things. We reconcile all things unto the things of God. And look what he says, that we would reckon ye also yourselves to be in this position. That we would align ourselves with the things of God. What does that mean? It means I take a true, honest, genuine look at my life, not your life, because I can't do anything about it, right? There's not a thing I can do about your sin, praise God, because I can't handle my own. Right? I can't. Now, I like to look at everybody else's sin. That's just my nature. My nature says you're all much worse than I am. That's just, if you didn't believe that, I'm telling you that right now, right? I'll admit it for all of you, so you don't have to admit it. That's the way we operate. Your sin is way worse than my sin. That's just the way I feel. That's the way the devil likes us to feel, right? He can keep us focused on somebody else, then we're not going to get right with the Lord in our own life. I'm going to challenge your heart this morning to quit worrying about everybody else and start focusing on your heart and relationship with the Lord, and you will find something that you've never seen before. Amen. You'll find love and grace and comfort and encouragement in your life today that you've never seen. You will see the direction of God in your life, and when you're committed to those things, he says, and we've reckoned ourselves unto that situation, we're dead indeed unto sin, but now we're alive, and it's not in me, it's not in my power, but it's alive through Jesus Christ. Number one indication that you're living for yourself is you can't see anything else that God is doing. You ever think about that? You ever wonder why it is that you can't see where God is working? Well, maybe you can't really determine where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. Most of the time it's because I'm so focused on myself, I don't really care what God wants for me. I don't really care where God wants me to go. Many a times, honestly in my life, it's probably on a daily basis. God puts opportunity in front of me to meet the needs of somebody else, and most of the time I just don't care. I'm too busy worried about me. Worried about what I need to do and when I'm going to do it and how I'm going to do it. Get to the end of the day and get everything done and realize I didn't get anything done. Spend an entire lifetime doing everything I wanted to do and never getting anything done. We reckon ourselves to the things of God through Jesus Christ, and our heart changes, our minds focused on Him, and things change. Let not, in verse 12, look what he says, therefore, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. You ever think about what reigns in your life? We have a description of sin. And from the youngest of children in this room, they can understand sin. They can. Because it's just part of who we are. We're born into sin. Even our babies. As cute and cuddly as they are, right? They're born into sin. They're born into that sin. And they know the difference between right and wrong, right? You understand? You believe that? Even at a young age. That baby right over there is sound asleep. He knows the difference between right and wrong. I promise you. He does. He's learning, he's evolving, but he knows the difference between right and wrong. When we get to that place of understanding, of course, we grow a little bit more. The Holy Spirit guides and leads in our life. But we know as parents, when we have young children, we instruct them, this is right, this is wrong. Right? They learn those things. We know the difference between right and wrong. We know what it is that the Word of God says. We know that the world has a standard that says right and wrong is different than what God's Word says. But if you're in relationship with the Lord today, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. And the Scripture, as He challenges to our heart here, as Paul writes, for us to consider that we not let that sin reign in our body. That means it's in charge. And if it's truly, we consider what sin is anything that is contrary to the Word and the will of God. Right? Anything. We could go on for hours with that. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God means we have to determine what the Word of God says so we know whether we're following in it or we're not, right? Amen. We got to know it. If we don't know the Word of God, we don't know. Then, well, simple thought for us to consider this morning is, if I don't know what the Word of God says about what's right and wrong, I'm going to do what? What comes natural. And the right is not what comes natural for any of us. If you didn't know that, I just gave you a good hint this morning, right? the right things aren't natural for us. Because we were born into sin. But we know the Word of God and we know the truth of God and we study the things of God, then we recognize those things. That's what he says. We do not allow sin to reign in our body. When those thoughts come into our mind, we dismiss it. We give it to God. We put focus to Jesus Christ. When that sinful thought or idea runs through our mind, our struggle and difficulty with others, when those bad thoughts run through our mind about other people, when those bad thoughts run through our mind about ourselves, when the images that are flashing across our Facebook page and the internet and the television and all the radio things we're hearing, and those things go running through your mind, you dismiss it and say that's not of God, and you look to the things of Christ. When you make a decision in your life today that says, what does the Word of God say about this or that in my life? You have to study the Word of God to know it. Now, I understand that's a lifelong process.
Amen.
And it's a lot more work than most Christians are willing to give. It takes more time and more energy for us. But you recognize what he says there, that we would not allow that sin to reign in our bodies. He says that you should obey it in the lust thereof, because that's exactly what happens, right? When those things are reigning in our life, when our focus is on those things, we're going to do that. That's where we're going to go. And we live that life continually thinking we want to do better, but we don't allow the things of God to be the lead in our life. Look what he says. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So we recognize the sin. We recognize what it is in our life and how it surrounds us in our life. And then we recognize where we're yielding to that. That mindset of yielding to that is, well, there it is, right? That brings us all the way back to the very first verse. That we yield to that sin in my life just so that I can see the grace of God. That I can ask for forgiveness of those sins. Move on in my life and hope I do better tomorrow, but don't do anything different than what I did today. It's a constant lifestyle that we're living in this morning in the life of the church. We now let those things reign in our bodies and let not our instruments, our members, be used as instruments of unrighteousness. Right? Scripture talks about the members of the body. Right? Each one has its place. Everything's important. All the parts of our body are kind of important. When we have one part of our body that's not working like we think it should, it affects us, right? We use the instruments of our body. When we use our hands to do things that are not honoring to God, there's a problem. When we use our eyes and our ears and our mouth to be in contradiction to the things of the Word of God, there's a situation in our life. We have to come to this realization of those things and know that those things happen. He says that we not yield our members to those things. When we see things that are not honoring to God, we change our vision. We change our direction, right? We look the other way. When we read things, when we hear things that are not honoring to God, change what we're listening to, right? Do not allow those things to sneak into our mind and into our hearts. When our feet take us to places we shouldn't go, we make a decision that says we're going to honor God with the things that we do and the places that we go. The relationships that we have. It's all evidence of a relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives. Yield yourselves, what? Unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look what he says in 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Paul's challenge, as we read it here, was not to follow the laws, right? And this is a consideration, to follow the laws as the driving factor of our life. And this is kind of just normal process for human beings today. We like to have a list of things to do, right? And as a general rule, as a Christian, if I could just give you a list of 10 things to do this week, and I could guarantee you that your life would be better, would you do it? If I just list you out 10 things every Sunday, you do this, and by the time you get here next Sunday, life's going to change for you. I can do it if you want. I promise you one thing that's going to happen. You're going to go home this afternoon and try to run through all 10 of those things Sunday afternoon so you don't have to worry about it the rest of the week. And you're going to come here next Sunday and say, nothing changed, right? Because
yeah.
That's my nature. My nature says, hey, a preacher said do this, right? We do that. Did all 10 things this afternoon. Got them all done. Checklist, great. Feels good. Nothing changed. It's a condition of the heart. It's the mindset of our life. And God never intended us to sit down and make a list of rules and follow those rules and be a good Christian. He intended us to yield ourselves to the things of God. That means when God presents it before us on Monday morning, we say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do it, and we do it. And when he presents it to us on Monday night when we lay down to go to sleep and he says, you need to do this, you get up out of your bed and you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it, until we get to the habit of where we always yield only to the Lord. And all those things don't matter then. Following somebody else's law or somebody's idea or man's created image of what we're supposed to be as a Christian is not what God intended for us. He intends us to yield ourselves unto Him. That's what He says there. We yield ourselves unto God as instruments of righteousness, He says. Think about it. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That unrighteousness should not be part of our life. What then, in verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Again, he says the same two words, right? God forbid that we continue in that sin, that we continue in that mindset and that thought in our life. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. No wonder this morning in our hearts and our lives as we're in this place gathered together this morning, who is it that we're yielded to? Right? This morning, who is it that you've yielded your life to? Who are you in obedience to this morning? Well, we take an example and just take a look at our life today and evidence of where we are and where we're going and what your life looks like right now, wherever you are. I don't know where you are in your life right at this moment, but I can guarantee you, I know one thing about every one of us. We have decisions to make every single day. Every day. Some are really small. Some of them are just automatic for us, right? Some of us, we just get out of bed. There's decisions that have to be made every second of every day. And some of them, we just do out of normal habit and normal process because they have to be done. And we don't ever think about those. That's something fun for you to think about this afternoon. What are all the things you do that you don't think about, right? Stuff we just do. They're called habits. Right? It's just something we do every day. I'm pretty sure every one of you have some of them. You get up every morning, you go through the same routine. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Right? Because it gets you where you want to be. Gets you doing what you want to do. Makes you feel good. Makes you happy. Makes you comfortable in your life. Some of you like routine. Some of you, your routine is to not be routine. Right? Do whatever you want. Free for all. I don't care. Live life however it is. Do whatever happens. It doesn't matter to me. Don't really care if I'm on time. Don't care if I'm late. Don't care where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. I just do what I want and don't really worry about it. That maybe that's who you are. You recognize even in your carelessness, you're still yielding to something. I wonder where our heart is this morning in the life of the church. Consider what he says. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. You recognize that you're a servant to something today. You're a servant to something, some situation, some person. For many of you, you have a job you have to go to every day, and that's that mindset that comes to your mind. You're serving somebody. You got to get up and go to work, right? You do these things. You answer to somebody. Have this situation in your life. Above all, this morning, what it might look like in the life of the church if the only person we are worried about answering to was Jesus Christ and Him in our life, being committed to our Heavenly Father, it would change every other situation that we serve in. Every other place we go. Every other mindset. He says we are servants to those that we obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You consider this morning the pattern of sin that most of our world is stuck in living in today, even Christians. Most of the pattern of sin that we're stuck in is just that decision that we've made to get up every day and go through that process. And we're a servant to those things. Whoever it is that we obey. But God be thanked in verse 17 that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants, look what he says, of righteousness. He says, praise the Lord that something's changed, right? God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but now you're not. That should be the evidence of the church today. That others might look at our life and say, well, we can recognize you used to be the... that's one of the greatest testimonies for people that struggle with this morning. Maybe this is you. Listen to this, okay? Maybe life hasn't been real great for you and you haven't made some really good decisions. That's okay. That's a great opportunity to have testimony for God doing something in your life. Amen. It's not our place to worry about those things. You shouldn't dwell on those things, what you've done in the past, because God doesn't care. As long as you've asked Him to forgive you, He wants you to move forward. Amen. That's so important in the church today. Does not matter what's gone on in your life in the past. If you've truly, genuinely repented of those situations in your life and you're seeking the things of God today, He wants you to be moving forward in relationship with Him. And we don't do it. Every one of us have the same situation in our life. It may be something small. But I would dare say that probably most of us are hanging on to something in the past that needs to be forgotten. Because if you truly confessed it before the Lord, He's already forgotten it. He's already forgiven it. He's moved on. He's expecting you to move on. It's a place in the life of the church today that is attacking Christians all over this world. So we're stuck in the things that have gone on in our life and we're not focused to Jesus Christ anymore. Being made free from sin, look what he says, you became the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members service to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, he says, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That's just common sense, right? People that don't know Jesus Christ and any concern for the things of God, that ain't hard. Look out the window, right? Look out on the streets today. There's no concern for righteousness in our world. That's not hard to see. But when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, he says. What fruit had you then in those things, whereof you are now ashamed, he says, for the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Look what he says. And the end, everlasting life. Because of Jesus Christ, we have hope. Because we become servants of God, you have fruit. Fruit and evidence of holiness. Let it be the picture of the church today, that there would be evidence of holiness in your life. Evidence coming from the life of the church that there's holiness and a desire for holiness in our life. Not self-righteousness. That's a big distinction there. I want you to understand this morning. There's a lot of self-righteous Christians in the world. Holiness is not self-righteousness. If you haven't figured that out, we need to talk a little bit more. Holiness is between you and God. Holiness is between you and your relationship with Jesus Christ and serving our one and only Father. Has nothing to do with you being a better person than anybody else. Has nothing to do with your feelings and your emotions and your thoughts. It has everything to do with your position before Jesus Christ today. Holiness comes from our Heavenly Father. And the end, everlasting life. Here in this chapter is the one verse you were all waiting for, right? The last one. One that probably you all know. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we deserve today is death. We all know that. That's what we deserve. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. But because God loved us so much, He gave us Jesus Christ and an opportunity to have everlasting life. Amen. That's the message our world needs to hear. That's the message that your friends need to hear, your family needs to hear, your coworkers need to hear, the strangers in the street need to hear. Our children in our schools need to hear that there's a penalty for their sin and it's death, but there's a cure for that sin problem and it's Jesus Christ. A few weeks, you want to see a baptism filled up in this church full of people that want to get serious about Jesus Christ? It's time for the church to start doing what God's called us to do. I believe without a doubt, Easter Sunday's coming, and I believe that there could be more people standing in line at our big yellow tank than we could fit in this building. If you're willing to do what God's called you to do. Amen. And it's not about numbers. I could care less about how many people are in the line. I care more about the fact that those people in that line are committed to Jesus Christ. And heaven is growing because of that. Amen. And that we could look back a year from now and see something that God is doing in this community that we never thought possible. It's all because you're willing to make a decision today to yield yourself to the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth this morning. I thank you for the message that you've put in our minds and in our hearts today. Lord, I thank you that we have opportunity to be in this place. Lord, to come together as a church family and to worship you and to be in attitude of service to you. Lord, I thank you for the challenge that you bring to our hearts from the word as Paul penned it to the Romans. And for us today, Lord, that we would set aside the sin and the struggle and the unrighteousness of our life. Lord, that we would seek after holiness and obedience to you. And Lord, I pray this morning in this room, Lord, that if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they've never truly confessed their sin before you, they've never asked you to be the Lord of their life, they've never given you that place in their life, Lord, that in this time of invitation, they'd get up from their chair, they'd walk down this aisle, Lord, they'd just tell me that they need to be saved and that I could have opportunity to help them know you today. Lord, that when they leave this place, they'll know without a doubt that they have hope of everlasting life. Lord, for those of us that can say we've done that, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be in obedience to you today. If there's other decisions we need to be making today, Lord, maybe there's someone here that needs to follow you in believer's baptism. They've not done it yet. We're planning an opportunity for them to be obedient to you. I pray you'd help them just get up and come down this aisle and express their need for obedience to you. Lord, that we could help them to get that taken care of. Lord, that we could do it today. It doesn't have to wait for several weeks down the road. They could be obedient this morning. Lord, maybe there's just sin in our life that needs to be confessed. We need to be right before you this morning. We've been wrong in our life. We've been going about all the things we're doing in our life wrong, and we need to get right with you this morning. I pray you'd help us to do that. Lord, maybe there's someone here in this room that needs to commit their life to being a part of this church and the ministry you're calling us to. They want to come put their name on the roll of the solid rock and be a part of this church and make decisions that will help us move forward in commitment to you. I pray you'd help them to come do it today. Lord, only you know every heart and every life in this place, and I pray you'd help us to not make any more excuses, but be righteous and holy before you today. We're going to give you all the praise, and we're going to give you all the glory, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me if you're going to use the hymnal. It's 275. God's calling you to do something. Would you do it today? Would you make commitment to the Lord? Maybe you just need to come down here and pray. This altar's open. You can come pray by yourself. If you want me to pray with you, come up here. I'll pray with you. Do what God's called you to do today. Stephanie, play one more if God's calling you to do something. one more verse. I'm going to let it play. Stephanie's going to play. Time and this place that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit as he moves in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as your Spirit continues to move in our thoughts and our ideas today and direction in our life, Lord, that you would just guide us from this place. Lord, that we would make commitment to you this morning. Lord, if there's other decisions that need to be made that haven't been made today, Lord, that you would help us to be willing to do that. Lord, as we leave from here, that we not make any more excuse. We just do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray you guide us into this world this week, that we'd be a light and an example for you. Lord, that we'd strive to be the church you've called us to be and be the individuals you've asked of us. Lord, that we'd just be your servants. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and this time of fellowship together. We pray all these things in your name.